The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Does that seem like dispassionate discussion to you? You know, it's, yikes. Okay. Whew. It's getting tough. This is the eighth chapter of John's Gospel. We're seeing by the end of it, just as at the beginning of it, you know, we had the woman caught in adultery. Jesus stands in the firing line for her, and we're seeing what's coming of that. This is part of what John intends to communicate by saying, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? This is what's happening. Yeah, he's taken them on himself. Right? He's allowing the full force of evil to do its worst on him, so the power, the chains, as it were, are broken, because he breaks the back of our enemies, our enemy, the enemy of human nature, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Of course, the power of the enemy comes as a result of human beings failing in their vocation. Right? The powers are empowered because we give our God-given power and authority to forces within creation. And then by doing so, we become enslaved to them, but they're empowered to, say, rule over us, because the entire world changes when we commit acts of idolatry and when we're given over to worship of counterfeit gods. The world starts to take a shape other than the one that the true and living God intends it to take. So let me just review a little bit of this with you. I mean, let's take the last section first. Yeah, they answer and say to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus says to them, "If you're Abraham's children, you'll be doing the works of Abraham." So Abraham, of course, is the father of many nations, covenant faithfulness, right? We see him, with great faith being called by God and journeying afar with him in order to establish, say, him and then his family as God's people. You know, the works of Abraham are faith-filled works. Yeah, this is the stuff of trusting and following God. He says, "Now you're trying to kill me. Abraham did not do this." Okay, that's good. "You're doing the works of your father." Right? Who is their father? The Satan. Okay, so just so you know, right? This is what Jesus is saying to them. "You're doing the works of your father." Okay, that's quite oppositional stuff. I mean, Jesus is in the right here because he's always in the right. Okay, we're not here to challenge that. But this is quite serious charge here. So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication." And you go, "What are you talking about?" They're saying that Jesus is born of fornication. Do you get it? We were not born of fornication. We're not the ones here who were born of fornication. we know something funny was happening with Mary, you know? Oh, no, this is what it is, right? So now, Jesus doesn't annihilate them, right? You know, he doesn't, he's like, you offend my mother, okay? You're going to get annihilated here, right? You're wiped out of existence. And no one to remember that you ever existed. He doesn't say that, right? And they say, we have one Father God. Jesus, if God were your Father, you would love me. That's it. I mean, that is not, again, like I said, this is not the stuff of dispassionate conversation, right? This is, you would love me. And there's an appeal also there for them to love him as they should. But see how caught up they are. Right? We were not born of fornication, right? This is nasty, right? And Jesus is there actually to take it. Like I said, he doesn't annihilate them. He's not fighting fire with fire here. Yeah, he's there to plead with them, to bring them to him, right? I came from God and I'm here. I do not come on my own, but he sent me, right? So there is this pleading with them. Of course, it's not going too well. It's not going to go very far. Okay, now, let's take the first part. Okay, and we see there's still this antagonism, right? Because Jesus is saying to them, he's saying to the Judeans, the Jerusalemites who believed in him, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You'll know the truth will set you free. And you go, yeah, it's so beautiful, right? It's so beautiful. I'll put that, just hang that over to the entrance to my kitchen there in my, you know, in my McMansion. It's a beautiful line, right? The truth will set you free. We're descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone, right? Have you not heard of the Exodus? You know, have you not heard of that time in Egypt? Like this is not the most truthful conversation. Right, and this is part of the challenge, but it's part of our challenge as well. I just heard, was it Pope Francis putting out some kind of biography or autobiography? I don't know. I'm not paying close attention to it because I just don't. But and then what is it? Stephen Colbert is it who's narrating it or something like that? The audiobook version of the thing. It goes, yeah, Stephen Colbert, right? Wasn't he the one who coined the term truthiness? Was that him? Yeah, was that? Anyway, so this, you know, we have problems, okay? We don't live in the truth. We live in truthiness, right? We live, there's like, how would you say this? I don't know, the weaving together of half-truths and lies and the rest. We live in that kind of society, and we participate in that, and we're often not the ones who stand there and say, I'm gonna speak the truth. We say, I'm gonna say, I'm the one who goes along to get along, right? It's like, it's very, very hard to resist that truthiness culture, and yet here we have in front of us the truth that will set us free. Now, the truth that sets us free is not simply Jesus and propositions about Jesus or the things that he wants us to commit to, dogma, although he wants us to know dogma and to love dogma and to commit ourselves to dogma. But this is not primarily about doctrines and dogmas and the rest. This is about Jesus, capital T, truth. This is the truth in the flesh. It's Jesus. Yeah, and it's Jesus, the truth, capital T, that's going to set us free. And he's going to set us free by going to his death as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right, it's not all worked out in this particular passage, but he gives us enough of what the problem is to know that we need a solution. Yeah, so the problem is everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, then you will truly be free. Yeah, and look, the people that Jesus is confronting here, the people who say that they've never been enslaved, that they're children of Abraham, and so on and so forth, they're the ones who are committed to the works of darkness. And worse yet, yeah, they're using their religious position to justify their commitment to killing Jesus, right? To killing somebody, okay? I want to flash back. I'm not going to do it really, okay? But I will flash back a little bit to the axis of evil. I don't know if any of you remember the axis of evil. This was like there was a very thin veneer of religiosity by which certain people in the world talking about an axis of evil, went out with force committed to obliterating other people. Okay? This is the kind of thing that Jesus is dead set against and that he is opposing with his entire life. Yeah, he's going to give himself up for it. Now, we need to make sure that we're not in this space of using our religiosity at all to justify our commitment to dark forces and animating and embodying dark forces. And this is the sense. If anyone who sins is a slave to sin. So are we going to enslave ourselves to foreign powers, or are we going to become, as St. Paul says, are we going to become slaves of Christ Jesus? A slavery that frees us. Okay, this is what's in front of us today. And Jesus here, who is the Son, who making us sons and daughters of God, right? By making us his brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of God, is making us to be free. But we're only free if we follow him. This is the truth within the truth, is that we have to follow him on the way. And he goes the way of self-giving love all the way to death as, say, the event that frees us from our slavery to sin, from our being possessed or driven by foreign powers. No, we want to be driven by self-giving love. And he's breathing his spirit into us now so that we can follow him faithfully on the way, and we can live as true children of Abraham, committed to the works of Abraham. We can live as true children of God, committed to loving, trusting, and obeying Jesus in all things.